Let's begin our service of worship with the passing of the peace. Good morning. Is it not glorious to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. You can feel the Spirit moving today. There are several announcements in your bulletin. I want to bring attention to a couple of those. We are going to have our second town hall meeting today, right after church at 12:15. Now, this is to address the changing of the service to just one service at 10:30. We would like all of you that have not been able to attend the first one, I think that they had this morning at 9:30, if you could stay and attend this one, give us your input. How do you feel about this change? We need to have all this together before the council gets together and makes a decision. So, you know, this is your church, so we need to have your input. We also have the Lenten cards, in the back. And if you guys haven't started these, you might want to do that. It's a great contribution in honor of Lenten.
And we actually decided that the contributions that are made our special offering during Lent will go to worship banners.
Worship banners. Amen. And then the next thing that we have that's up and coming is the Easter egg hunt that is on April 8th. And as you can see, it's for ages 12 and under. And so if you have any children, grandchildren that are in that age frame, please bring them that day. It's going to be a great day. Are there any other announcements?
How about
Amen. They can come as well. Have a great time. Okay, if there's not any other announcements, let's go to our opening words. Jesus bids us welcome. He brings peace and forgiveness. Yet we dwell in the midst of doubt and fear. Jesus bids us welcome. He brings hope and healing. But we persist in our ways of stubbornness and greed. Jesus, come among us once more and bring us your word of peace. Open our hearts, our spirits, our souls to receive your healing word. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to page 301, we will sing Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross.
Jesus, keep me near.
If you would please turn to 887, we'll have our affirmation of faith. And I promise there will be only one. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
No. In all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please be seated. I'm sorry. Just checking.
This morning. Boy, am I thirsty. I need to take a drink of water. Ah, that tastes so good. I'll probably never, ever have to have another drink ever again. That was just delicious. Yes, water is lovely. Now, I wanted to talk with you about Lent and about this cross that's up here. Do you see all the marks on it? There's a lot of, oh my goodness, I'm thirsty again. Oh, geez, now here I go. Oh, that's just so good. I don't think I'll ever have to have another drink of water as long as I live. I just have, whew. Now then, back to this cross. We see there's fingerprints on it, and those fingerprints are on there for a reason. The reason those fingerprints are on there, because it marks our sins that Jesus took on himself. And you know what? I'm thirsty again. I have to drink yet one more time. Here goes. Oh, that's great water. I think I'll never have to have another sip as long as I live. That was just the best water. But guess what? I need it even more now. Okay. Pardon? You think I should drink the rest? You think if I drink the rest of the bottle, then I'll never be thirsty again? Is that the truth? Is that what it is? I don't know. You know, whenever we drink that water, we'll always be thirsty again. As wonderful as water is, we will get thirsty again. But Jesus came to give us spiritual water. He quenches our thirst. And we have a story today in our church service this morning that will be about Jesus and the woman at the well and how he promised her water that she would never be thirsty again. And she thought he meant that kind of water. But no, he meant a different kind of water. And I want you to think, when you are drinking water, when you take a shower, when you go out in the rain, and you experience that wonderful gift of water, I want you to remember something. The water of your baptism is eternal. That is eternal water that will never die. And that water says that you are loved by God, that God loves you, and even if you do bad things, God will never take his love away from you. That love is promised you, and God gives truth to all his promises. And we are so grateful to God for that promise of love. Let's bow our heads and pray. When we are thirsty, dear God, you quench our thirst. And we pray your blessing upon us, especially as a church, that we may continue to grow in spiritual ways as well as in other ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Here you go. Would you like a piece of candy? Take a piece. You have to give others their turn. There you go, Jaden. Take your candy. It's so hard to choose, though. Come on, Ashton. Come on, Ashton. Let's take a piece. There you go. There you go, Jaden. Ashton knows what she wants already. There you go. I actually think it's candy that nourishes their souls. I invite the ushers to come forward as we prepare to worship our Lord through the giving of ourselves and our gifts. Let us pray. Gracious Almighty God, you have given us such a gift in Jesus. We pray your blessing upon this church, that we continue to grow in your grace and mercy and strength, that we come to you with our whole hearts and our whole lives to give ourselves again. In Jesus' name we pray.
This song we're going to do, I want you, when Pastor Esther gives her sermon, at the end of her sermon, I want you to pretend like we're going right into this song. And you'll see how it just flows.
All right.
So we're just doing it backwards.
Okay.
can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. Can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. Can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? Can only imagine. I can only imagine. Can only imagine. When that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. Can only imagine. When all that I will do is forever, forever worship you. And only imagine. Can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? I'll be able to see it all. Can only imagine. I can only imagine. Oh, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah, be able to speak it all? I can only imagine, yeah, yeah, yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Oh, oh, oh. I can only imagine. Can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Amen.
And I'd like us to do some imagining. I would like you to imagine that it is you at the well in which you meet Jesus. And Jesus wants to talk with you. close your eyes, bow your heads, and imagine that Jesus is talking to you and calling your name. What will you say to Jesus this morning? We have those whom we've been praying for, two of whom are here this morning. Bill Cook and Rosemary Gugler are both here after traumatic experiences. And we remember Myrtle Eppert, who is back in the hospital today. And then there may be others that you would like to share with Jesus this morning. Whatever is on your heart, may it be a person's name or a place in the world that you feel called to offer healing, or a situation in life. Tell it to Jesus. Give it to him. Let him know. Imagine that he is your Lord. It doesn't take much for us to imagine that our needs, our hurts, our very lives, dear God, are so in need of your love. We know we are incomplete people, and we bring to you our brokenness, and we find healing in your arms. Especially those who are suffering today because of illness or loss, whether it be loss of a loved one or a job, we bring those to you and lay it at your feet. And know that you can take and use it for your glory and for the plan that you have for us. Reveal to us, give us, dear God, the knowledge that you have for this church, for our lives. Give us hope, dear God, as we love you and we want to do what you want us to do and not what we want to do. Guide and direct us. Give us, dear God, whatever it is that we need today. And help us to remember to pray in the words that you taught us when we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from
evil. Now, if you'd please stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing Come. Now is the time for worship.
Before I read the scripture readings, I just wanted to kind of give you an update on Corey. I mentioned him in the prayers. He did a big step yesterday. He got with Ivy's mom and dad, and they came down and went through all of Ivy's clothes. That was a huge step for him because the bedroom has not been touched at all since she passed. He's been sleeping on the couch because he can't sleep in the bed. So that in itself needs prayer, but at one point when he was bringing the clothes out, he came out and he was crying because he could still smell her scent on the clothes. So if you guys would just remember him, I mean, it was huge for him to do that yesterday. I didn't know if it was too soon, but he made the decision and he did it. And he seemed to be happy after he did it. So, and anyway, our scripture reading today is out of John 4, and it starts at verse 5. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews did not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying it to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. And then down to verse 39. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
the story of the woman at the well is Jesus' longest conversation with one person in all of the Gospels.
In this story, the woman erects barriers to Jesus. She finds countless things that get between her and Jesus. And I want to look at the barriers that she erects to see if they are not ones that we too sometimes create in order to block ourselves from Jesus. First, and probably most obviously, this woman erected a barrier of prejudice. The Jews and Samaritans had deep animosity toward one another. They had long-standing hatreds that went back for generations. The woman said, "Why are you, a Jew, asking me to get you a drink, a woman of Samaria?" The animosity that she expressed was characteristic of the relationship between Jews and Samaritans. She created a barrier to Jesus. She couldn't understand him, where he was coming from. It's not unlike what the poet Maya Angelou wrote. She said about prejudice, "Prejudice is a burden which confuses the past, threatens the future, and renders the present inaccessible." I think that's a very good description of prejudice. And that's exactly what the woman of Samaria was doing. She was distorting their past and making the present inaccessible. She could not reach Jesus through the barrier of prejudice. What about the individuals or groups toward which we harbor prejudice? It may be an individual or a group that we reject because of the color of their skin, because of their religion, way of life. God came to the Samaritan woman in the form of someone against whom she was deeply prejudice. And my friends, God may come to us in the same way. If we are to experience Jesus and meet the real Jesus, we will have to look into the eyes and into the face of individuals or groups against whom we harbor prejudice. Because there, too, we will see the face of Jesus. Another barrier that she erected was of social custom. At that time, it was against the custom for Jewish men to talk with any woman that wasn't their wife, their mother, or their daughter. Never to any other woman. The Samaritan woman had the same cultural biases. It was a scandal that Jesus was even talking to a woman, and a strange woman being from Samaria. Social customs can separate us from people today. How many of us in our lives know a person who is poor? Do you know a poor person as a real human being, knowing what their life has been like, who their kids are? We segregate frequently by class. Middle-class people know middle-class people, and rich people know rich people, and poor people know poor people. These class differences and social customs keep us separated. Jesus came to the woman as someone that the social custom made a stranger of him. Jesus may come to us as a stranger. A third barrier was that Jesus was an outsider for the Samaritan woman. Jews did not travel through Samaria. They went the long way around Samaria. And most Jews went out of their way to avoid contact with Samaritans. To the woman, Jesus was an outsider, somebody she would not have expected to be in her community, outside of her personal experience. And that made it hard for her to take Jesus seriously. Now, Jesus is often an outsider to our lives. You know, we'd like to make him a middle-class white American because that's who we're familiar with, but he's not. Jesus is different from us. He is deeply and profoundly different. He is like an outsider to us. His values, his ambitions, the way he conducted his life, the things Jesus cared about and the people for whom he cared are all different from us. He is an outsider to our way of life. So if we choose to follow Jesus, we will discover ourselves being different from our neighbor. Dare we associate with or become close to or follow this man who is an outsider? And finally, the woman was reluctant to be honest with Jesus. Jesus said, "Go fetch your husband." And she said, "I have no husband." But Jesus knew what the truth was. She had been married 5 times, and she was not married to the man she was with. But she didn't want Jesus to know this. She would interact with him just on the surface. But the real depth of her experience, her life experience, she did not want to share with him. The pain, the trouble, the mistakes, everything of her life, she was trying to keep to herself and away from Jesus. So she was holding Jesus at arm's length and would not allow him any closer. And don't we do that too? We dress up and we get pretty for church and for worship, but how do we relate to Jesus when we get home? And we're mad and we're frustrated and we're tired and we're beat up. Do we connect with Jesus when we're being real? When we have real problems and real concerns, are we open with God and Christ about the messy parts of our lives that aren't pretty and pious? We pray when we're feeling pious, but can we relate to Christ when life's a mess and we're a mess? The Samaritan woman found it difficult to be honest with Jesus. And sometimes so do we. But despite all the barriers that she erected, this story has a happy ending. The woman eventually connected with Jesus. She went back to her village and she said, "I have met this wonderful and amazing man. I want you to come and meet him too." She became the first evangelist. She's the first to run and tell someone about who Jesus was. The story says that the whole community came out and many believed because of her testimony. And, you know, that's what is supposed to be true about us, too. Many are supposed to believe because of our testimony. And a few weeks from now, we're having a special event that we're calling Bring a Fran Sunday. And Fran, although we love our youth director, Fran actually stands for a friend, a relative, an acquaintance, or a neighbor. So we would like everyone on that day to bring a Fran, one of those things. You can remember it by thinking Fran. Friend, relative, acquaintance, or neighbor. Because we want people to know exactly what Jesus has done for us. And that's the way it works. Sometimes you and I, we're kept from Jesus by our prejudices, the social customs that we are used to, our fear of outsiders. and the messy realities of our life. All of these things, if we allowed them to, could get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. We can get past those things and allow Jesus to be first in our lives. We can share what we have experienced with others on Bring a Friend Sunday, and it might change something for them. My hope and prayer is that we can get past these barriers that we erect between Jesus and ourselves. Then there's hope that even now we will meet Jesus. And what will we say today after Jesus says to you, "Hello, my name is Jesus"? Amen and amen.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing "God of War."
Potluck, and I believe that's April 20th.
30th.
30th? Anyway, it's the fifth Sunday of April, and we want to fill up this church. So everybody has a friend, relative, acquaintance, or neighbor that they can bring and share with them what we know to be true in this place. That this is a place where we have the worship of God. It's all about God. It's all about the worship of God. Now, I also invite you to take just a short break before we reconvene back in here for our little town hall meeting to discuss the matter that is brought to us by the worship committee. So just take a minute or two. I need a break myself, and then come right back in so we can get you home in time for a good lunch. Now, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you as you go in His peace until we meet again. Amen.
Your Highness, sir.